and welcome. There's no more powerful an engine for economic growth than a young, gainfully employed workforce. But on the other hand, there's no greater catalyst for civil strife than jobless young people. And a decade ago, nobody contemplated this latter possibility. India's youth, in comparison with an aging West, China and Japan, was universally regarded as one of its biggest advantages. But today, after minuscule job creation in the last few years, some tough questions are being asked. Is this a structural problem? Is it the fault of the Modi government, or are we simply not interpreting data correctly and inventing a problem where none exists? Well, to debate this on We the People tonight, we have Manish Sabharwal. He's a co-founder and chairman of Team Lees. That's India's top recruitment firm. He's joining us from Bangalore. MK Venu, founding editor of The Wire, Gurcharan Das, author and commentator, former CEO of Procter & Gamble, Namita Bhandari, journalist, Vikas Pandey, coordinator with I Support Namo, Pavan Khera, spokesperson of the Congress, and Anshul Tiwari, founder of Youth Ki Awaaz. That's India's number one youth portal. So Anshul, let's start with you. Do we have a problem with job creation, or is this just something the opposition is making a mountain out of a molehill? You have your finger on the pulse of the youth. What does the youth say?
No, I mean, we of course have a problem with job creation. It's very convenient for us to say that the opposition is making a mountain of it. Primarily because, you know, we see how young people are continuously talking about this issue on Youth Ki Awaaz, on the internet. And there is a clear understanding that there is a big, skills and job mismatch. There is a severe lack of focus on really making sure that young people who are getting trained are getting trained on the right things. There are opportunities available for them and so on. So, of course, it's not a hypothetical scenario that we are facing, and it's not something that's happening just now. It's been going on for a while. We don't see enough governments taking it super seriously as it needs to be taken at this point.
Okay, let's just set the foundation of this debate. Let's go across to Manish. Do we have Manish up? Manish, so your firm, Team Lees, provides recruitment and staffing for over 2,500 companies in India. So this must be an easy breezy job for you. If there's such a problem, demand and supply problem, then you must have a lot of satisfied customers. What's the reality?
No, I think it's clear now that India, I don't believe India has a jobs problem. I believe we have a wages problem. I think you have to make up your mind whether India's official unemployment rate is a fudge. I don't think it's a fudge. It's 4.9%. Anybody who wants a job has a job. They just don't have the wages they want or they need. I think that diagnosis is important, because if you think we have a jobs problem, you'll throw money from helicopters. If you think that we have a wages problem, you'll do formalization, financialization, industrialization, and human capital. Okay. So I think this is a very important issue to decide whether we have a jobs problem or a wages problem. And I think we have a jobs problem.
You think you have a wages problem, you said. Sorry, let me just wrap my head around that. So that means I have a job.
Yes, we have a wages problem. Okay,
you said jobs problem towards the end. No, but that means, I'm just trying to understand this. It means that I have a job, but I'm not happy with how much I'm getting paid. I hope my bosses are watching this show. But jokes aside, Manish, tell me, aren't you sugarcoating this? Because if there's an engineer who has a job selling pakoras, that's not a wage problem. That's a job problem.
I think it's a jobs problem. I think you can only have one definition of unemployment. I agree that India has raised its aspiration from minimum wages to living wages. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But the definition of unemployment is whether you're unemployed or you're not unemployed. And if you want higher wages, then is it just a problem of human capital? Why does Joe Sixpack in America, who watches college football and drinks beer all day, make $50,000 a year? And why does Ram Bharose make 50,000 rupees a year? I think that's an important diagnosis. I think poverty is about productivity, and productivity is embedded in the air, in the institutions, in the infrastructure, and the regulatory capital.
Well, whose job is it to make?
There is one definition of unemployment, and then.
Well, whose job is to create this productivity? Is the government responsible at all to create these institutions? You're saying productivity is in the air?
Oh, absolutely. India has 63 million enterprises, 12 million of them don't have an office, 12 million work from home. Only 7 million paid taxes before GST. Only 1.2 million pay provident fund. Most tragically, there are only 18,500 companies in India with a paid-up capital of more than 10 crores. So I think you need to be very careful when you say that we have a jobs problem. We have a lot of enterprises. There's not less entrepreneurship in India, but we don't have enough formal enterprises. So formalizing corporate India is a very important part of raising productivity. Urbanizing India is a very important part of raising productivity. Raising human capital is a very important part. Of course, the government's responsible, but it's not about NREGS or throwing money from helicopters or, you know, mandating a 3-day work week or, you know, taking away their shovels.
Okay, so when you formalize jobs, it means
a different problem than bhuka nanga pyasa naukri nahi hai.
No, so if I just want to understand what you're saying. You're saying we're both agreeing that a formal job means you'll get things like PF, you'll get gratuity, you'll get a pension. That is still missing. There are jobs. Yeah. Everybody has jobs. You can be a kora seller or you can have a store or whatever. You may be working on your farm, your parents' farm, which you don't want to do. Those jobs are there, but formal jobs aren't there.
Yes. Okay. I think formalization of the Indian economy, whichever way you want to do it, the problem is not jobs, it's formal jobs. The problem is not naukri, it's achhi naukri. I think that framing is fair, but what is an achhi naukri? Is it provident fund? Is it ESI? Is it minimum wages? Is it one who offers you training?
Okay, so you're the best person to answer that question because how many applicants do you get? And are they getting these achhi naukris? Are you able to provide them these achhi naukris because you serve, you provide services to the best companies in India? What's your experience been
like? I mean, we've hired somebody every 5 minutes for the last 15 years. But we have only hired 5% of the kids who came to us for a job. You know, we have 30,000 jobs every day we can't fill. So unemployability is a bigger problem
than unemployment. Why have you not been able to find jobs for the others?
I've said that for a long time.
Why have you not been able to find jobs for the others?
It's unemployability. They don't have the skills they're supposed to have.
They don't have the skills. Okay, so that is worrying. So then you have worthless degrees and you have jobless graduates. And the question is, are they qualified and unemployed or are they unqualified and unemployed? Kurchan Das.
You know, it begins with three original sins that our country committed. The first sin was, and it began with Jawaharlal Nehru's time. So let's take this out of politics. It's every government. It did not educate our people.
Everybody only has
about
degrees
10%,
nowadays.
Sarah, only about 10% of Indians get a decent education. And therefore, our formal economy is only 10% of the jobs. The second sin was that we did not, our education system did not link jobs, education with employment. Many countries have an apprenticeship system. We just got an apprenticeship act. Actually, we should thank Manish Sabharwal partly for having fought for that.
Well, we got this apprenticeship act, but then we saw protests in Mumbai because of it.
Exactly.
So I'm not sure if it's solving any problems.
Exactly.
Actually, we have some candidates here. Aap dono Rajasthan se ho. Aur aapne ye rail roko jo Mumbai mein hua tha, aapne usme participate kiya tha aapne. Kyun aapki problem kya hai?
प्रॉब्लम यह है कि रेलवे द्वारा हमें ट्रेनिंग दी जाती है एक्ट अप्रेंटिस 1961 के तहत, उसमें जॉब भी दिया जाता है. 2010 से पहले जो लड़के थे उनको जॉब दिया गया, लेकिन 2011 हम पास आउट है और 2012 हमारा वेरिफिकेशन करवाया गया, लेकिन उसके बाद हमें जॉब नहीं दिया गया. आज तक हम भटक रहे हैं जॉब के लिए. हमने काफ़ी प्रयास किए हैं, काफ़ी जगह हम रेलवे बोर्ड में मिले भी हैं मंत्रियों से, लेकिन हमारे आज तक कोई सुनवाई नहीं हुई है इसके बारे में. कभी
मंत्री ने भी बोला है कि गारंटी तो नहीं थी ना, आपको स्किल चाहिए थे, आपको ट्रेनिंग चाहिए थी, वो तो उन्होंने दे दिया. तो नौकरी कैसे दे सकते हैं
मैम? इस एक्ट के अंदर है, पहले भी इस तरीके से दिया गया, आपसे भी पहले भी इतने रेल मंत्री सबने दिया है. इसमें एक्ट अप्रेंटिस जितने भी हैं सबको जीएम्स की पावर होती थी, जीएम्स को पावर दे रही थी, जीएम्स की पावर को लैप्स किया गया इस गवर्नमेंट ने.
लोग ने अप्लाई की है और 90,000 जॉब्स है, तो आपको क्या लगता है सबको नौकरी तो नहीं, 90,000
तो आपको सब, तो
हमारा तो डबल डबल एग्जाम ले रखा हमको, जब रेलवे में आते हैं रिक्रूट होके जब भी एग्जाम देना पड़ता है, फिर एनसीवीटी का भी सर्टिफिकेट होता है उसका भी एग्जाम देना पड़ता है, हम चार चार एग्जाम देना पड़ता है हमें। फिर उसके बाद में
अगर देखिए, अगर मुझे जर्नलिस्ट बनने है और मैं जर्नलिज्म कॉलेज चले गई, मुझे पता है कि इस इंडस्ट्री में आजकल नौकरी नहीं मिल रही है, तो कुछ और क्यों नहीं करते हो?
तो ऐसा भेदभाव भी नहीं होना चाहिए ना, जो सबको मिल रहा है, एक स्टेट में अलग चल रहा है कानून, एक में अलग चल रहा है, सबके लिए समान होना चाहिए। रेलवे बोर्ड की जो गाइडलाइन है सब 16 जोन के लिए एक ही होगा ना, डिफरेंट तो नहीं होगा। एनडीए के शासनकाल में भी दिया गया, पहले भी दिया गया।
अगर आप इतने साल से वेट कर रहे हो, व्हाई डोंट यू डू अनदर जॉब?
दूसरी जगह जाते हैं तो वो कहते हैं आपका रेलवे में हो जाएगा, सर्टिफिकेट देख के कहते हैं कि हम क्या कहते हैं आप तो छोड़ के चले जाओगे, आपको तो रेलवे में हो रखा है, जब आप जाओगे जब आपको ले लेंगे। हमारी प्रॉब्लम
बिजनेस क्यों नहीं करते आजकल,
बिजनेस कहाँ से करें जब रेल में बताऊं, हमने पहिया बनाने का और रेल के कारखानों का काम खोला है, उस काम को बाहर जाके हम क्या रेल की प्रोडक्शन यूनिट खोल ले, क्या खोल ले हम, जब क्या करें हम, जब
काम ही रेलवे का वैसा काम सीखा हुआ है, यहाँ पे नौकरियां नहीं मिल रही है, तो कुछ और ट्राई तो करना पड़ेगा ना।
ट्राई कहाँ से करें, इतना एफर्ट कहाँ से लाएं, बिजनेस के लिए पैसा कहाँ से लाएं, मध्यम वर्ग से हम कहाँ से लेके आए?
हमारे फादर की जॉब। ओके वेट, आई वांट टू गो अक्रॉस टू विकास, बट आई जस्ट वांट टू मेक वन पॉइंट दैट लेट्स रिमेंबर दैट द फार्मर्स हु प्रोटेस्टेड वॉकड ओवरनाइट फ्रॉम मिडनाइट टू 6 AM सो एज टू नॉट इनकन्वीनियंस स्टूडेंट्स गोइंग फॉर द एग्जाम्स, बट दिस द यूथ they who were protesting here, they paralyzed the transport systems, they inconvenienced everyone trying to go to work, to school or to colleges. Actually, Anshul, let me go across to you. Is there something wrong with our generation? On one hand, you know, I was speaking with a friend who was recruiting for a firm in Hyderabad who said the youth was just lackadaisical. They were not showing up for job interviews. They're just not. So if there's such a shortage of jobs, why is the youth like this? They keep quitting jobs. I know of so many young people.
So
they
honest,
quit every
so I'll tell you what. Yeah, it's a challenge that even I face when we hire, when you several other companies hire. But I'll tell you what, there is absolutely nothing wrong with the current generation. I'll tell you why. There is a clear mismatch that you can see right here between expectation and reality.
Yeah.
And nobody's doing an expectation setting with young people right now. We are being born in a scenario where our challenges are not the same as our parents' challenges. Our parents had a very different time. They wanted to just settle their family and so on. We are aspirational. We want more. So when you are raising a generation and telling them consistently that, listen, go out and shoot for the stars, and you don't even get the mountain, you will feel dissatisfied. And at the same time, there is a severe problem with the reality versus what you're learning at school and in your educational institutes. So what, you know, Mr. Gulcharan Das said, what Manish said is absolutely correct, that there is a severe problem with our education system. We are not learning what is actually needed. So when we go out there, we're dissatisfied. We don't get what we really want. We don't get to achieve what we really want. So there are several issues here. And that's why, you know, I mean, we obviously can't pin the blame on and just say that this is a generational problem. There are several issues right here that we need to address, you know, one at a time.
Okay, Vikas, Anshul says there's the difference between expectations and reality. Is the Prime Minister responsible for raising expectations? He promised, 2 crore jobs a year? What happened to that promise?
Tell me one thing. I was just listening to a lot of statistics being thrown around. There is obviously unemployment, but I saw the... There was a minor increase in unemployment from 3.5 to 3.6, which is bad. At the same time, let me talk the statistics of what government is doing. Government has raised capital.
What happened to the 2 crore jobs that were promised?
I'm coming to it. So government is not just talking about organized sector, the pun which The Wire and people from Congress keep on making about pakoda sellers and all. Thing is that they are hard workers and government of India.
Hold on.
So what government of India is saying that it has also started with something called Mudra Yojana. You should be aware about its reach. It has given 8 crore people the money they need. At the same time, it has generated around 5.5 crores of unorganized sectors job. And it's not just job. If you are making someone as entrepreneur, you are actually enabling him to employ other 3 to 4 people more. So let's not talk about people who get fixed salaries and PF and everything. Jobs are all around and they are in different forms. The gentleman here was saying that from where will I get the money from? So I just wanted to educate him that there are institutions working day and night to give money for these needs also. At the same time, there is something called Stand Up India, which has given loans to 55,000 people, which are specific to SC, ST category and women, loan of 10 lakhs to 1 crores. So those are also creating a lot of jobs and especially in improvised sectors.
This program came under Skill India?
Yes,
Skill India. Yes, Skill India program. Okay, fine. You're saying the government is doing enough, even though you haven't answered the question about the 2 crore jobs. Pavan, respond here. The government is acting on the ground.
No, let me start with the so-called pun. I think it was the Prime Minister who said that pakoda bechna bhi ek naukri hai. Where will the jobs come from, Sarah? The lowest domestic investment in the last 25 years we are witnessing today. After all, jobs come from the private sector. And the private sector is on its knees. Agriculture is going through a huge, very, very deep distress. And I'm not blaming X government or Y government. Agriculture is in a distress. Telecom sector got sabotaged by what I call a sponsored activism of the Vinod Rai variety. You know what's happening to the telecom sector. Look at the power sector. Again, sponsored activism. Look at, you know, you auction coal blocks and then you get into huge NPAs. Come to the IT sector. These were the job providers.
But
again, tank. No, wait.
Jobs have
liberalization
started to fall since
opened a lot of opportunities, Sarah, for the middle class youth at least. Now, for the first time, the middle class youth.
10 lakh jobs under Dr. Manmohan Singh, but in 2013, it fell to about 4.19,
absolutely.
Right?
So I am talking about the sponsored activism which brought a policy paralysis under UPA 2 in the last 2 years of UPA 2. I blame Vinod Rai and all these so-called activists who went about sabotaging every reform, everything under the sun. And now they talk about Skill India, Stand Up. I'm sorry, it's fed up India.
Okay, hold on. If it's fed up India, why are we not seeing these protests, etc., out on the streets? If it's true that there's a job problem.
Well, what kind of protests? I mean, people will vote. In 2019, you'll see which way the youth of this country are voting. So last time they voted for the BJP in the hope that the Prime Minister gave a lot of hope. In fact, I attended several of his meetings, UP, Bihar, and he said, I want you, the youths, to give me 10 years of your life and I'll improve your life, etc. So you'll see in 2019 which way they vote. And you know, Sarah, I want to say something here. It's not just the Wire or the Congress which is talking about, you know, jobs problem. Some of their own websites, which are BJP leaning websites, are very, very critical.
But that's irrelevant.
Yeah, no,
if it is a problem, it must be talked about.
Yeah,
it is the job of the media to talk about it. So let's
let's talk about the biggest survey that this government conducts on an annual basis. It's called Labour Bureau survey, annual survey, with a sample size of 1,55,000 households, and they interview 7.5 lakh people. It is a bigger sample than the NSSO, and
yes,
it's a very solid survey. It's been going on since 2010.
Yes.
And the fifth survey, 2015-16, showed that jobs actually fell. The number of jobs in the country fell from 480 million in 2013-14, which was one of the worst years of GDP growth under the UPA. From there, it fell to 467 million. There's a 13 million drop,
yes,
which economists have written about, talked about. Now, the thing is, this government should then actually get into a serious inquiry as to what is going on. There is a problem. It's a structural problem.
I'm not saying the government sees this as a structural problem.
It's a structural problem. So, Mr. Modi also talked about, you know, some of his advisors when this government came, they talked about the structural problem. Even in 8.5% growth, which Mr. Rahul Gandhi has admitted did not generate enough jobs. So how do you expect jobs to be generated at 7% growth, right? So growth is lower today than it was, say, 5 years ago, 6 years ago. So that is the problem which people need to go into, the structure, the changing structure of the economy. Why is manufacturing, within that survey, manufacturing is showing a reduction in jobs, whereas retail and wholesale is showing a slight increase.
You talked about GDP and jobless growth. Gursharan, economists, I mean, for you all, this is well known. These are terms you all use in everyday vocabulary. But for us laypersons, explain this to us. How could India still have, even though our GDP has fallen, it's still amongst the highest in the world. How can that not translate into jobs?
Well, you know, I think I was going to talk about the third original sin. And that's really the answer to this question. And Manish was trying to explain this, that the problem of India is not unemployment, it's underemployment.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And also, no country did, in other words, became a prosperous country unless it sustained 8% plus growth for 2-3 decades consistently. Now, we can also do it, but the original sin began because from the beginning of our republic, we were pessimistic about exports. We, in fact, we had closed our economy till 1991, when we opened our economy. Even today, this government,
we thought this government was
going to bring a real change in mindset. But the Make in India, it should not be called Make in India. It should be called Make in India for the world. Because the productive jobs, not the pakora, what we want are productive jobs, not pakora wala jobs, and those productive jobs come only through exports. We have to remember that.
No, and but who's going to make in India if you're saying that people aren't qualified, if they are like not,
no, but
if their degrees are all from nonsensical institutes?
People are pessimistic, but the fact is, even today, $1.7 trillion worth of goods are traded between countries. India's share is only 1.7%. Asian tigers, China, all of them participated in that.
If Manish is saying that we have unemployable graduates, he employs one person every 5 minutes, but 90% of people who are applying to his firm aren't getting jobs because they're unemployable.
Another data point. The Skills Development Ministry made a huge effort. I must say they did make an effort under the Prime Minister Pradhan Mantri Kaushal Vikas Yojana, and they huge allocations. They tried to link skills to actually users of those skills, which is industry. Industry was involved in skilling them. After all that, the government itself set up an internal committee to check the outcome, which happened last year. And one economist who's on that committee told me that they found that less than 10% of those skilled actually got jobs. So what does that tell you? That there are no manufacturing jobs, because the economic survey says, Arvind Subramaniam says, that India has gone through one of the longest episodes, a serious episode of decline in private investment.
But it also says that we have received the highest foreign direct investment in the world, and all that investment.
But
has Bhushan, been
that is subsumed in the private investment. No, but that is subsumed in the private investment figure, right?
Hold on. But what I'm saying is that it's all in the manufacturing sector that this FDI has come. So there isn't. I mean, $1.7 trillion worth of goods are being exported. And surely we should have a, you know, even if our share goes from 1.7 to 2, we'll get a demographic dividend.
You're right, but Bhushan, FDI is subsumed in the private investment figures. No, it is not showing up in the, because FDI alone cannot drive the
economy. Well,
anyway,
with Trump's now closing the borders in the US, I don't know if that's happening. China's probably going to start exporting to us if Trump closes the borders to him. But the question is, what is the social impact of all of this going to be? Namita, come in here, because you've been reporting that India also has, you know, the position of having the most number of women dropping out of the workforce.
Yeah, this is a very well documented data, and it astounds me that this is never given the kind of importance that it should be given, either by government or by policymakers or by economists or even by feminist groups. I mean, the fact is that 19.6 million women have simply fallen off our labor map, whichever way you want to slice the data. This is rural, urban, formal, informal, educated, illiterate. They've all been dropping off. The largest drop has happened.
Even while education rates for women are going up in India.
This actually started happening post 92. The great liberalization, which was supposed to create all these jobs, did not create jobs for women. It left women out. And not only left women out, it actually turned women against employment. And, I'm not blaming liberalization. I'm saying it started at, not a good time. Please listen to me. You have to hear. And, you know, I'm saying it began in 92. The decline began in 92.
I'm not causal.
Listen.
I think we can agree with Namita. This is a crucial issue. We must, in fact, probably do a full show on it.
This is exactly what I'm saying. Women's issues never get the attention. We are never heard. And that really is a problem. But apart from that, continuing with what I was saying, you know, I think this is a crisis. I think this, I mean, part of my work for the last 8 months has been to travel across India, understanding from women why they are choosing to opt out. The good news is that a lot of women who are actually opting out of labor are in school. So at the 15, 16, 17, 20-year-old age group, they're in school. I was in Haryana last week
at a
women's university where women from villages, surrounding villages, are actually doing their PhDs and their MPhils. The point is, education is unfortunately becoming an end in itself. It's not leading to jobs even for women. You know, so I'll give you another
data set.
That
still is a positive.
Another little data set. You know, following demonetization, media ran with this huge story about 1.5 million jobs lost in the first 4 months of demonetization. But if you look at the gender, if you look at it through a gender lens, 0.9 million men came into work. They came into jobs. 2.6 million women fell off the labor map in the first 4 months. So everybody who lost jobs were women. Nobody reported it. And this is what I mean, that you know, when women fall off, it's invisible.
And
nobody
it goes against the whole narrative
off.
Of India modernizing.
Yeah.
Right? But I think it's crucial, not about who's to blame, not that liberalization is to blame in this case. I think the point is, when jobs are lost, the weakest section of society will be affected, and women are the weakest section of society,
exactly.
Especially in India.
Exactly.
We have so much
Manish
stacked against women. But let's go across the audience over here. I just want to have a little pop quiz with all of you, all school students, college graduates at least. Okay. Can any one of you answer these questions? Which is the biggest constellation? Anyone? It's the Hydra. Who was the 44th Chief Justice of India? Nobody. Justice Kehar. Okay, anyone over here? What is the acid found in vinegar?
Oh.
Now these, very good, wow, thank God. Now
we failed that one,
okay?
I think.
No, listen, many doctors, yeah, all of you must be doctors.
No, I'm a genius.
Okay, so great. Okay, now this was not the questionnaire from the IIT exam. This was the questionnaire in the BMC for people applying for jobs for sweepers posts, for crematorium assistant posts, and other basic hospital ward boy posts. So what does this tell us?
No, I'll tell you one more question. In SSC examination, once SSC asked that, what is the height of Deepika Padukone? So this is the level of question.
I don't believe that.
It's general knowledge.
Yes. So this is the level of question
ask
they are
how
asking.
How many of you know this question at least?
So actually, the question was the comparison between Deepika Padukone and some other actress. But this was the question.
Wow.
And this is the level of question they are asking in the government examination. Then how can you expect that our youth will contribute in, making India a developed country in next 2-3 years?
I think this is
And sir, the main issue is no one is talking about, so all of you are talking about the employment and all, unemployment and all the section. But no one is talking about the education sector. Can you answer why government has reduced the budget almost 40% from 50,000 crore to 26,000 crore this year? And you are investing 2,600 crore rupees on Skill India, where the employment, like sir said, that only 10% people got the job, and out of 30 lakh, only 2,90,000 people got the job. You are wasting the money in.
It's not wasting
those,
the money.
Yeah, it's wasting the money.
It's giving the opportunity to rest of the 90% people to come up with that job, that skill, so that they are employable enough. If they are not getting job, that is another serious problem. But you have to understand.
That's a macroeconomic problem.
Yeah.
Government is not responsible to deliver job at your doorstep. Even I have been through the job. I have given a lot of interviews. I was not selected in most of them. And I got selected in one, and then I got job.
But
whatever.
You know, the government
okay,
job.
Okay, one second.
The government, government job, and it is doing fine. It's not that you should, we can complain everything on government saying it's not doing fine.
But I'm saying the government's, the problem is the RTE. The RTE, Right to Education Act, does not measure outcomes. All it's interested in is inputs. And that is one of the biggest problems why we are creating unemployable graduates, because they are not even learning a fifth
okay,
class.
Okay, let's start from one of them. You're an engineer, you said.
Yeah,
you started
but
from one
job
of
class
them.
Five,
but
a child cannot
are,
read a class
You are what
two
people are calling unemployable today. There are just too many engineers applying, and it seems now even IT is not going to be hiring jobs.
For the first time, IT is showing a decline in.
Exactly.
So, doesn't that worry you?
No, actually, I am right now I am employed.
Okay.
I'm working with a multinational firm. So I'm employed right
then
now.
Then why were you?
So yeah,
protesting
why I'm, no, no, I'm protesting against the corruption. So every Indian should protest against corruption, not only students.
What
the parents
corruption
also.
Has happened in India?
So yeah,
India.
So the corruption is the SSC cheating scam.
Let
we
me tell you what happened in SSC.
Proofs. Yeah.
Out of 50,000 or so centers, two centers had some problem, and then you should compare about how it was handled in UP era and how it was handled by NDA era.
No,
just
actually,
hold on. You had your time.
Yeah.
Let me reply to that.
Sure, sure.
SSC scam. two MPs were with the students all the time, hearing their grievances and reporting back to the government.
I don't want to make this a debate about the SSC scam. We have separate shows on that. Let's talk about employment.
Because
you have a problem, you have a job,
you
have a job.
Why not? Why not?
You have a job, you're happy?
Because
they are apolitical, they are not talking about
it. I'm just talking.
Why are you not happy?
Look, it's not about SSC scam.
We have separate shows on SSC scams, and I'll have you both come on and I'll let the guests know. Hold on. This is a show about unemployment. You have a job with an MNC, which means you must be happy.
I am happy, but actually youth is not happy because
Are you happy or not happy? If you are happy, then let's move on.
You're pretty much youth, yeah.
I'm pretty much happy about my job, about my salary. But I am not happy with the
youth. His bosses are listening.
Because they are not getting the job which is dignified. They are getting, they are investing around 8 lakh, 10 lakh rupees for engineering, and they are getting jobs of 15,000 per month.
Okay, let's hear from ma'am.
Yeah, I would rather say, why do we say that number of employment created or number of jobs created? How many dignified jobs are we creating? You ask a student to leave his home and come to a metro city and work for 15,000 and survive. A pakoda wala is still a better. He's earning 20,000 and he's living in his own house. Why are we stealing their own dignity, their self-respect from our youth? We have to give them that respect. An engineer gets 15,000 in Delhi or NCR, and how can he manage one house or one basic electricity bill, and his living standard will be so low that within 1 year he will leave that job, go back to his home, he will start a pakoda shop in front of his house and survive in a better country.
What do you do, ma'am?
Ma'am, I am a training and placement officer with G.V. Pant Institute of Technology, which is a 3 years diploma polytechnic. My students are actually, sir, can you please give me a chance? Let him finish,
then I'll come to you.
I am here to show that pain which I see in the eyes of my students when they are offered a job in Chhattisgarh and they are hardly paid 10,000 or 12,000. They say simply, ma'am, main wahan kaise survive karunga? Ghar pe bhi to 2-4,000 bhejne honge. They are actually from the middle class strata of the country's capital. I'm not talking about any other place. I'm talking about the capital city.
Okay, hold on. Vikas, go ahead.
I will just answer to that quickly.
Let Vikas finish.
It's a very generic, ma'am. Don't take it otherwise. I also started very, very low job salary-wise because 2003, a lot of layoffs happened. I was also from IT sector, I'm still in. Now I'm doing very fine. So saying that youth will get disappointed by getting so much less job, it is very, very wrong to assume the power of youth when they are employed. Initially, the power should be, the focus should be of learning than more than earning. And I think most of the people who are getting that will work hard and eventually will earn also very good.
You know, I respect your idealism, but it's not realistic at all.
Exactly.
Because the truth is, I mean, I'm glad you really, you know, made your way up, but we can't generalize it for everyone. Yeah. There are, you know, you see cab drivers in a city like Delhi, qualified engineers, 55% marks they got when they, you know, graduated, but they had to leave their jobs and become cab drivers. Why? Because they're getting 30,000-40,000 a month over there, and they were getting 10,000-12,000 over there. They have to run their families, they have to send money back to their, you know, villages and so on. So this,
but it's a great job, you're getting more than you would,
you know, but the point is not that.
Manish can respond to you. The
problem with that is that we are essentially saying, you studied engineering.
Can I respond
now
to
let
this,
go
please?
Of that.
Yes, Manish, I'm coming to you next.
You studied engineering, now let go of that. You gave your years of life to, you know, really thinking that you're going to become something. Now let go of that and become a cab driver. So again,
but do you want to earn a salary at the end of the day that you can provide for your family?
Dignity.
A job is a job, says
no.
Manish.
So the lady here spoke about dignity. I agree with
okay,
her.
Okay. Let Manish respond and then both of you can respond. Manish, go ahead. Would you come in here?
Yes. So, you know, the world has produced more graduates in the last 35 years than the 800 years before that. So what does that mean? It means 60% of taxi drivers in Korea now have a college degree. It means 31% of Walmart checkout clerks in the US have a college degree. It means 15% of high-end security guards in India have a college degree. I don't think college is a guarantee of anything. I don't really give a damn if you've done an engineering degree. What employers care about is what can you do. And, you know, if people are going to say that a taxi driver earning 40,000 is not worth it or it's not a dignified job, I don't know which world these people live in. Finally, we are not talking about happiness. I know a lot of rich people who are unhappy, and I know a lot of poor people who are unhappy. We are talking about a living wage. We are comparing that and moving up from what was a minimum wage. And it is absolutely ludicrous to assume that just because you've got a degree, you deserve, the world deserves to make you happy or pay you some amount of money. There are a lot of kids in India who work very hard, who do not have degrees, and who get a lot of jobs. There are a lot of unemployed graduates, of course. So, you know, we have to move away from this guarantee. You know, you want a guarantee, go buy a toaster. A college does not guarantee you anything. You are responsible for your own employability. There are 25 million new Provident Fund payers in the last 3 years. There are 17 million new ESI payers in the last 3 years. There are 125 million people in formal employment. I completely take objection to some of the numbers you are flashing on your screen, because there are 30 million certified people extra in Provident Fund, and there are 17 million. So the notion that India is only 10% in formally employed is wrong. It is between 20 and 25%.
Okay, we're only flashing government data in our graphics, but Manish, Geeta Tyagi here, hold on, let Geeta respond. And then you come across. Sure. Geeta, Manish is saying your youth is just too entitled. Nobody owes you a thing. If you want a job, you have to be capable for that job.
That's what I'm coming up to. See, I represent, you know, Vocational Training Institute. We not only train core area of ITMS for graduates, we train undergraduate students also. We're not talking about that. That's a huge percentage of that.
Quickly.
They said you do graduation, student did graduation. Now you said you have to be core trained under vocational. They did vocational now. Now you're talking about they should have this, that. When you talk about wages, see, they expect employability. They talk about maturity, attitude. You know, you should know about the corporate skills, blah, 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 blah. And finally, they end up paying 6,000 to 7,000, even 10,000. My question is, how is the student is going? How are you going to motivate this young generation? How are you going to?
I just want to say one thing. I completely agree with what Manish is saying. Nobody's entitled to a job. In fact, Manish wrote a phenomenal article in the Indian Express about this whole issue of wages being a problem versus jobs. And I also agree with what he said, which I want to really re-emphasize over here, that in our education system, what we're really missing out is the key skill of relationship building. Hmm. Young people do not have that as a core skill. So you always struggle when you really go out in the job market. But at the end of the day, the concern here, which, you know, ma'am both mentioned, is expectation versus reality. That expectation setting needs to be done right. You can't go and say that everybody will have the best job in the world. There obviously will be discomfort
Okay, ma'am, you don't have a mic. Hold on,
it has
let's
to
get
go
more.
To
ma'am, you don't
it,
have
it
a mic.
It has to
please
go
speak,
to school, you know.
Ma'am.
It has to be ingrained.
You don't have a mic. You can't be heard. You don't have a mic. You can't be
heard.
Please,
ma'am. I am, you can say, a skilled labor from West Bengal. And I have certain questions to ask to you, because you have used certain terms like training and development, personality development and skill development you have talked about. Let me tell you that I have penetrated into this and I have found out that you have suggested some ministers of yours have suggested.
So get to the question, please.
The thing is that you talk about mudra loan. Mudra loan, it is not easy to get a loan for the unemployed youth. If you can issue loans for the for the diamond merchants, but if unemployed persons goes, you cannot issue. If the large population
people got
okay,
the loans,
so large population. How can you say that no one got the loan when eight crore people got the loans?
I have penetrated into your micro, small, medium enterprises MSME. MSME, they have introduced different training, skill development training institutes. All of them give training. Those trainings are vocus. And they are concentrated only to those states where the central power is over there. What about West Bengal? What about other states?
What do you do, sir?
Sir, I do job, but at the same time, I am also engaging in different types of social activities.
What job do you have?
I am engaged in sales and marketing in education.
But you've applied for all these loans and they haven't worked. So you're saying policies are made, but the implementation doesn't work on the ground.
You haven't applied and you're saying you're penetrated enough.
One second, get some more audience reaction.
I'm sorry, you don't have facts.
Actually, problem is with this education system. We have the engineering colleges in the far distant places where there are no labs. We have the medical colleges. I'm from the medical, I'm a doctor in AIIMS. We have the medical colleges from far distant places where are no patients, no machines, no MRI machines.
No, I'm sorry. But there are patients everywhere in this country, in rural areas. There are no doctors in rural areas. Why don't you guys go and work in rural areas?
There are medical colleges, but there are no patients because they have no, they don't
have...
There
are no patients in rural areas?
Yes.
They Why don't are the Dhanamandis of the world having to go
They don't have
so
infrastructure. They don't have any labs and any machines.
So saying patients don't come because of lack of infrastructure. That's
they don't
they
have
patients. People fall ill.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
They are not sufficient to serve the patient. They are just for the sake of name, they are the colleges, medical colleges there. But
there are too many colleges that are coming up and we don't know what kinds of students are being are graduating from these colleges. They are unemployable after that. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, it's happening with the engineering colleges. It's happening with the educational B.Ed., J.B.T.
You know,
I just wanted to just...
One small thing on self-employment I want to say, Sarah. I don't think there's any other in economic history of other countries, developed countries who over the years, decades have developed. I don't think any other country experienced a stage where they were industrializing rapidly. India has also seen about 20 years of good growth, right, 25 years, where, you know, the self-employed population is nearly 50%. So there is something wrong with this. It's a puzzle. I don't know how to crack this. Manish Sabharwal is right. Nobody has a right to employment. But there is a lot of low-quality employment in our country. Mudra loan, you know, I read some of the numbers on Mudra. First of all, there is about 8-9 crore loans which has shown on record, but 65% of them had already existed, were taken out of those women self-help group loans which NABARD, State Bank had already given, right? Besides that, the average Mudra loan is about 22,000 rupees. Now, I sometimes wonder whether 22,000 rupees, if somebody borrows, how much employment can he provide with that money? You know, so
he's going to make himself employed first. At
yeah. So no. But you're also saying he'll employ more people. So that
no,
that
no,
is, bit is
you're talking about average, right?
Look, venture capital starts small, so it's all right.
Okay.
Even if you start with 22,000, you can make that 22 crores if you have got the right attitude.
Yeah,
right,
but how many?
Skills,
so
how
you're
many
right. So
right
one has to
course.
Wait for the outcome of that
yeah.
To realize how much employment it generates. You
yeah.
can't say that this is
but
already employment has been
but
generated.
It's good because it's one of the inputs to creating employment. Having venture capital is one of the very important inputs. And I think one thing we can say, I don't agree with a lot of things this government does, but this is one government that's truly understood the role of the entrepreneur. It is trying very hard, this ease of doing business. We have gone up 30 places because it is actually true that the life of the entrepreneur is improving. But we still have far to go because we are only 100.
Okay, so they've given an impetus, a push to being an entrepreneur. Go ahead, get your reaction quickly.
I am from medical field.
Achha.
I am doctor at AIIMS. So what we are lucky that our employment is demanded by the public. Public want that doctor must be employed. Doctor must come to a rural area. So what the government do is that government came up with the solutions like a bonds and a contract based employment. The bond is like you have either if I have graduated, I have done my MBBS, then I am liable to work in a rural area. Otherwise, they will put it on me like a 2 crore or a 3 crore.
Yes, which because your education is subsidized.
Education is subsidized. But the thing is, the problem comes is with the tagline, they say is that because the government don't want to work in rural area, but the reality is there is nothing to work in rural area. It is just in a sub centers and CSCs, PSCs are only of the name. They are only the rooms without any infrastructure.
So
without
he's
anything.
Mentioned the point about
so
the
if,
infrastructure.
If I,
but if your education is subsidized, do you not have a duty to serve the poor in the country, whether there's infrastructure or not? At least do your 2 years
thing,
and then move on. Any
have,
other problems?
First thing
he's talked
to,
about infrastructure.
First thing
move
we
on.
Have to realize that. First thing we have to realize that it is not only about medical sciences, is not only about the education, it is not only about the skills, it is also about the technology, it is also about the other equipments and infrastructures. If they tell me that you are graduated from AIIMS, now stand on the road and treat everyone here only, I can't do much because I need a complete hospital set up to work
Fair
for.
Enough.
It's not only that just because
but
I'm an
know,
AIIMS graduate, I will stand
though,
on the road and I will treat
saying
everyone.
Is that there's also something called attitude. What we are debating, what I'm listening in this debate, the most interesting divide is between those who feel entitled, I've got a degree and I'm entitled to a job, versus those who come with an attitude of, look, I can do it, I will, whether I'll get a mudra loan of 22,000 or whatever I will do. In fact, the mistake employers make is they are always very impressed, IIT, IIM, Wharton, let's take him. And he turns out to be a flop.
Very
because
average.
God, he has the wrong attitude. We you should be, that's what relationship.
I actually have a bit of a quarrel with this.
We have to go in for a short break. I'll come back to you, Namitha.
Thank you.
You know, the Prime Minister talks about this whole demographic dividend that India has. Could this also become a demographic nightmare if there are no jobs? We'll continue this discussion after a short break. Stay tuned. Don't go away. All right, we're talking about whether there's a job crisis. Namitha, you were making a point when we went into a break.
Yeah,
go ahead.
I actually disagree with, I'm hearing a lot about education and about entitled young people. I would say if I went to an engineering college, I would not be out of place to feel that I'm entitled to a slightly dignified job, not really becoming a taxi driver, but getting an actual job that I've been trained for. And if you travel across that, I've been traveling and meeting parents and meeting young people. I mean, education is the great big hope of this country. People, poor people, take loans, send their kids to school, send their kids to school. Who's to blame? You're saying that these kids come out entitled. They have a right to be entitled because we've told them that education can help you change your life. And now we're telling them it's not exactly true. You need other skills. Well, who's responsible for giving them the skills?
Can we just separate aspiration and entitlement? They're two different,
Yes, but
Okay. Let's go across to some of your students. You're all studying. You're invested in education.
Yes.
Respond to what Namitha
said. You can't blame them.
Ma'am, Harishal.
Nahi, ma'am, keh rahe ki if students who have invested in an education, whether you've gone to do engineering or being a doctor, you are entitled to a job.
नहीं हमें तो जॉब मिल ही नहीं रही क्योंकि जॉब की क्रिएशन जो हम पहले ही पूछ रहे हैं कि गवर्नमेंट हर साल जॉब की क्रिएशन डिक्रीज कर रही है क्योंकि 2014 में भी जहां पर एसएससी में 18,000 वैकेंसी होती थी इस साल 7,000 पे आ गए सिविल सर्विसेज में भी
नहीं बट सर हक तो नहीं है ना आपकी नौकरी यू हैव टू गो समवेयर इफ यहां पे नौकरी नहीं मिल रही है तो गो टू एन इंडस्ट्री जहां पे शॉर्टेज है वो आपकी रिस्पॉन्सिबिलिटी है नहीं
नहीं हमारी रिस्पॉन्सिबिलिटी है जाने की लेकिन यहाँ पर इंडिया में तो हो ही नहीं रही अब जॉब क्रिएशन
ओके गो अहेड मोर रिएक्शंस
इंजीनियरिंग में मैं 2010 में 6 लाख सीट्स थी पूरे कंट्री में उसको बढ़ा के तो 16 लाख कर दिया गया लेकिन इंफ्रास्ट्रक्चर है नहीं हमारे पास लैब्स नहीं है हमारे पास टीचर्स नहीं है अच्छे क्वालिटी के तो हम अगर हम इंजीनियर्स प्रोड्यूस कर रहे हैं तो उनकी क्वालिटी होगी नहीं हमारे पास
Okay, so the seats, colleges keep growing and the number of seats keep growing, but the jobs don't keep growing.
I think the government has made policies by giving bank facilities, bank loans for industries and agriculture. So why does the youth has only been depending on the government?
Okay, Anshul, is the government job still the panacea to all ills? Is that what the youth wants today? Before, in the generation before me, it was. The be-all and end-all of everything was to get a government job. I thought things had changed.
No. See, there is again no way to say that this is what the youth wants. Because again, diverse backgrounds, diverse upbringing, diverse needs. But to a very large extent, young people who are coming from smaller towns look at stability. And government jobs become that one thing that, you know, kind of guarantees some stability to you. So in a way, yes, people do look up to and look forward to government jobs to a very large extent. But at the same time, you know, there is, of course, entrepreneurship coming up. Young people are extremely entrepreneurial. But entrepreneurship is also, and really good entrepreneurship, is also slightly about privilege. It's slightly about, you know, knowledge, access,
Absolutely.
Ability, all of that. I started Youth Cares when I was 17, only because I had privilege. I had the internet already in front of me, so I could start it.
Correct.
But
and there
so
are people
many
who could give up colleges, drop out of college and then, you know, still be a success, but they're privileged. I mean,
there is complete obsession with government jobs still. That's why in a state like Haryana, where you have Ghungat and patriarchy almost entrenched, but girls are playing kushti, they're boxing, they're playing volleyball, and they're being encouraged by parents to do so in the hope of getting government jobs. So government jobs is definitely a reality.
And Sarah, I want to say something here.
Last
I once heard a BJP MP get up from Rajasthan, and he said, "Why there are 25 lakh odd, if I remember the number right, Anganwadi workers, women workers, who actually work with, who put in hard work, you know, in the Anganwadis. Mm-hmm. why don't they their jobs get regularized? This was the BJP MP raising this, and across party lines this was a demand. Now why don't we retrain them? Now here is an area, it's a low hanging fruit. Government can train them, retrain them, and give them a slightly more, a slightly better,
absolutely,
you know, emolument. So why can't we do this?
And better pay.
Okay, okay, so exactly. There is low-hanging fruit that the government hasn't reached out.
This also goes to the attitude bit, that, you know, when you retrain, you also change a person's attitude.
Yeah.
And so, they're all women, Anganwadi, all women workers.
Yeah, even with younger...
Government jobs, primarily the government is a facilitator for jobs in the job market. Now, this government, what is our problem with this government? We are in the opposition, that's just one aspect of it. The problem is, instead of, they have failed in providing new jobs. But the adventurism of demonetization, the bungling of GST, all this has really sabotaged the existing job market. Wait, just a sec. You said the social unrest. Why don't you see social unrest?
He was, you know, so
every caste now wants a quota.
If it's
why is there social unrest? There is a social
unrest.
I
say, look,
so instead of blaming.
No, no, I have a political. I will talk about political.
Top most site in the government job. There are 3 lakh government jobs created in state and central government.
What is the demand for the jobs?
In 4 months. And there are a lot of jobs being projected by, for example, UP government has projected 40 lakh jobs through a lot of investments which have come up in next 4 years. A lot of jobs are coming through, so it's actually improving
most
a lot.
Most of those investments
are coming through. I don't know if we're completely out of time. This is not the last we've heard of this. Remember, in May, we have a fresh batch of college graduates all coming out looking for jobs. This is not the end. But as we say on We the People, it's important to speak up. It's important to make your voice heard, but it's also important to listen. So until next time, thank you so much. Thank you all. Good night. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.